This is Barbara Ridenour with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated June 5, 2015. We'll continue with the obituaries. Nicholas N. Baker, 83, of Orlando, Florida, died Saturday, May 30, 2015. He worked for 30 years for Caterpillar in Decatur. Graveside services will be conducted at 1 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, June 9th, at Williams Cemetery with Pastor Lyman Taylor officiating. No visitation is scheduled. Arrangements are under the direction of the Day and Carter Mortuary. Glenn Daniel, Danny Giles, 71 of Decatur, died June 3rd, 2015. Graveside services will be at 11:30 a.m. Monday, June 8th, at North Fork Cemetery, Decatur. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Monday, June 8th, at Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur. Memorials may be made to DMH Hospice or the Alzheimer's Association. Otis L. Bud Hurley, 87, of Hammond, died Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, June 8th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Sunday, June 7th, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Friends Creek Cemetery in Argenta. Memorials are suggested to the Solid Rock Church. Dorothy Ann Hampton Baker Lichtenwalter died June 3, 2015. She was born in 1918. Visitation will be at Lovins Lockhart Funeral Home in Windsor, Illinois, on Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Funeral services will be held at Lovins Lockhart Funeral Home at 10:30 a.m. with interment will be in the Windsor Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Windsor Christian Church. Janine R. M. Lovell, 78 of Decatur, died Wednesday, June 3, 2015. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, June 8th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be 1 hour before the services at the funeral home. Entombment with flight home ceremony will be at the Pietà Garden Mausoleum in Graceland Cemetery. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Elder Lee Curry Mabins, 81 of Decatur, died on Friday, May 29, 2015. Homegoing services will be held on Saturday, June 6th, at Main Street Church of the Living God in Decatur. Visitation will be at 10 a.m. with the funeral following at 11. Pastor Stephen Marshall is officiating. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery. Sharon A. Reeder, 72, of Shelbyville, died Wednesday, June 3, 2015. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. Sunday, June 7th, at Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Shelbyville. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Saturday in the funeral home. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery. Ruth Eileen Utterback, 95, of Decatur, died the date isn't listed. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Sunday, June 7th, in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the funeral home. Burial will be in Mackville Cemetery at Atwood. Memorials are suggested to the American Heart Association or the American Diabetes Association. She was 95 years old. We'll turn to the editorial page and continue with letters to the editor. Those who want to pay more taxes are welcome to do so. I recently saw a letter from Barbara Minich that demands a clarification. While she extols her wonderful life and the fact that she and her family have plenty of money, She feels that others need help. And her solution? Raise everyone's taxes. Yes, this is always the liberal way of solving the state's problems. She said she worked for the state for more than 20 years, and all of it under Republican governors. What she does not say is what happened to some of those governors. She said Governor George Ryan signed off on a greatly enhanced pension program, but never mentions Ryan also ended up in jail. While she seems to blame only Republicans for the horrible mess our state budget is in, she never mentions that Democrats have controlled both houses of the state legislature for eons. What kind of logic is that? Finally, is anyone willing to pay more taxes according to their means? May I remind her that there is no law against paying more taxes if you want to. So my advice to her is to write a big check to the government and help everyone out and to stop telling the rest of us how much taxes we should pay. You are doing well, it seems, being supported by both the state and federal government. Why not just drop it at that? Signed, Aldo Mancinelli of Decatur. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Lauren Pugh, who represented Central Illinois admirably at the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. Lauren, an eighth grader at Holy Family School, spelled both of her words correctly during the live part of the bee, but did not score high enough on the written test to advance to the semifinals. There's no shame in not advancing. Only 49 of the original 283 spellers made it past the preliminary rounds. Despite admitting that she was nervous, Lauren acted cool under pressure and represented the area well. Thumbs up to the Mid-State Cup, which had a successful but wet soccer tournament. The annual event completed its sixth and largest year. Saturday's rain forced a shuffling of the tournament, as well as the cancellation of final games in two older divisions. But a dedicated cadre of Mid-State Cup volunteers moved fields around, rearranged schedules, and even used a heavy-duty leaf blower to remove some of the puddles so that most of the games and the tournament could be completed. In all, 137 teams from Illinois and surrounding states participated. Thumbs down to FIFA, the international body that rules soccer, and outgoing president Seth Blatter for allowing the sports administration to be overrun with corruption. Several FIFA officials have been arrested, and it's suspected the Blatter resigned ahead of allegations being aimed at him. Soccer is sometimes dubbed the beautiful game, but its governing body is an embarrassment. Thumbs up to graduation ceremonies at Decatur's MacArthur and Eisenhower High Schools, which returned to the schools after being held for years in the Decatur Civic Center. The ceremonies at the newly renovated schools not only highlighted the community's dedication to education, but were much more intimate affairs that seemed more dignified. The decision to move the graduation ceremonies to the schools aroused some controversy, and there was a compromise over dates and times. It all worked out as a great way to honor the graduates. Thumbs up to all of the summer reading programs being kicked off in local libraries. It also serves as a reminder to parents and caregivers that reading is an easy way to keep children learning while school is out. Recent studies have shown that reading just about 20 minutes a day can make a huge difference in students' achievement levels, not to mention that reading is a lifelong activity that brings many joys. Thumbs up to Greater Decatur Chorale, which had a successful Cookin' with the Chorale event despite wetter and colder weather than anticipated. The annual concert and cookout is a way for music fans to enjoy music, food, and the outdoors. Even though Mother Nature didn't fully cooperate, everyone still had a good time. Dr. Roach, no spleen, get your vaccinations. Dear Dr. Roach, I had a splenectomy in 2012 because an oncologist thought I had NK lymphoma. After pathology, I was informed that I had an unusual immune system with lots of NK cells but no cancer. I was very happy, but I'm wondering how to take care of myself now that I don't have a spleen. I'm going to be 70 years old next month. Signed, R.L. A. Answer, NK means natural killer, cells are a subtype of lymphocytes, a white blood cell. Leukemias and lymphomas of NK cells are unusual. The cells are important for immunity, especially for viruses and possibly cancers. Unlike T cells and B cells, they know how to recognize tumor cells and virally infected cells without having seen them before. Having too few NK cells predisposes a person to viral infections. So let us hope that having many of them is protecting you. The spleen has important functions in immunity and in removing worn-out blood cells. The liver takes over some of the spleen's job after the spleen's removal, but people without a functioning spleen are at risk for certain infections. Some of these can be immunized against, especially pneumonococcus, a major cause of blood infections, pneumonia, and meningitis. You already should have had two vaccinations for pneumonococcus, the PPSV23 and the PCV13. If you haven't or aren't sure, you should talk to your doctor about getting them. A meningococcal vaccine also is recommended to prevent a common type of meningitis. It's especially important for you to get your yearly flu vaccine. Finally, it's a good idea to get a medical alert bracelet for splenectomy. Night congestion. Dear Dr. Roach, as we all know, a good night's rest is very important for overall health. In my case, if I can get through the night without my nose getting congested or plugged up, everything is fine. But on many nights, at some point overnight, one or both of my nostrils eventually plug, and I can't sleep breathing through only one nostril or my mouth, as it will become bone dry, forcing me to get up and use an over-the-counter decongestant. Signed, J.H. Answer. Nasal congestion is a common problem, and people frequently complain of it being worse at night. The first concern I have is whether you are being exposed to something at night that is causing the congestion. Allergens that get on your face and clothes can worsen symptoms at night. It can help to change clothes and wash your face when you get home. Some people even need to shower and wash their hair. An allergist may be necessary to test to see whether you are allergic to something you can avoid. Tim Kaine's column, Saying Goodbye to Guitar Gods. At their best, guitar solos are their own wonderful language. One of the most joyous moments expressed by the late and legendary comedian Bill Hicks was his vocal impression of the guitar in Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child, Slight Return. Similar to Hicks, we likely all have a favorite guitar solo that we can hum or whistle or interpret. And if we're fortunate enough to be around a fellow listener on the same wavelength, well, jackpot. Those around us will be assaulted with a pair of people mimicking a Jimmy Page or Eddie Van Halen solo. Guess what, boomers? That day has come to a close. What we have right now largely is all we're ever going to get. That doesn't mean that there aren't guitar heroes still playing. A personal favorite is Taylor Goldsmith from the band Dawes. He spins lyricism from his sixth string so beautifully that you wish he'd never stop. And this isn't an argument about skill and what it does and does not take to be a musician, just as you certainly are a photographer, even if all you're doing is taking selfies, and you certainly are a journalist, even if all you're doing is writing a private blog. You are a musician if you are taking the tools available to you and creating a new sound, or even recreating an old one. But that, too, is part of the point. There are tools now that make musical sounds, tools much easier to learn, operate, and master than a guitar. And on top of that, there's an audience for that type of sound and that type of entertainment. At recent Decatur celebrations, acts that feature on-stage DJ have inserted into their performances what is called a DJ set. During some DJ sets, like Salt and Pepper's show last year, all the set consists of is recognizable fragments of iconic songs, maybe played for 30 seconds, maybe a minute, maybe just long enough to get through the chorus. Is this entertaining? For me, as much as watching someone spin a radio or TV dial, unable to settle on anything, but to thousands who punched their fists in the air at the first notes of Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, echoed through the streets and into Central Park, it was entertaining and musical. And if you don't call that DJ a musician, what the heck is he or she? This could even feed into the discussion of how old melodies get lifted by current performers. But that's a discussion for another day, and besides, there's lots of music popular with baby boomers that was lifted from other sources. Even if Taylor Goldsmith were crafting solos to match the most legendary in the history of music, who would hear them? Dawes has its share of fans. Dawes has not crossed into a shared experience of the music-loving community, because that community has downsized and fractured. So the guitar gods keep touring, repeating their riffs, often playing shows that sound just as good as the record. They sell out arenas to baby boomers and some curious younger people. But fellow boomers, we need to face a fact. Man of the things we thought of about jazz as we grew up is how an entire generation now views rock and those guitar heroes. What was jazz? It was a complicated music our parents and their friends listened to. It was the stuff adults considered real music, as the teen music took a full left turn from their tastes. Now, jazz wasn't all our parents liked, and it wasn't the only thing they listened to. My father listened to country, but country music today would be unrecognizable to him. It's morphed 3 or 4 times in the last 7 decades. It's only retained the name. Less than a year ago, my passionate and firm argument was that there were still guitar heroes to be found. We didn't have to have the words classic and rock paired to have that be the only musical form where virtuosity was its own reward. But now, my understanding of the original complaint, where are all the new guitar heroes, is different. And the honest answer is, there aren't any who will reach critical mass in our entertainment culture. The audience is far more interested in other things. Dear Abby, establish boundaries with friend. Dear Abby, I'm 32 and need advice on setting personal boundaries in my relationships. Simply put, I have a guy friend who has feelings for me that I don't have for him. We dated briefly, I broke it off, and we've continued to be friends, continued as friends for 2 years. He knows I'm not interested in an intimate relationship with him. However, he has made it clear through words and behavior that he is in love with me, almost to the point of obsession. I feel he doesn't respect my personal space. We argue, especially if he ends up crashing at my house after a night at the pub. I firmly tell him that he can only sleep on my couch, but he'll weasel his way into my bed. I feel I'm enabling him in his clingy behavior because I don't want to hurt his feelings. I want to be able to act assertively with him and others. I want to stop being so passive, especially with men. Please advise me how to work on this. Signed, Pushover, in Vancouver, Canada. Dear Pushover, the man you describe appears to be under the impression that he can wear you down if he keeps it at it long enough. He isn't interested in being your friend. He wants to be your lover. Because you aren't interested in him that way, quit allowing him to sleep at your place. If he becomes so drunk he can't drive himself home, get him a taxi. Allowing him to sleep over and weasel himself into your bed sends him a mixed message, and that's a mistake. To create effective boundaries, you must be clear about the messages you send to others. What you appear to need to work on is the ability to say no. Try it. You'll like it. Resisting resentment. Dear Abby, I'm having a hard time with my dad. He treats me like a little kid and refuses to recognize that I'm an adult who can make my own decisions. It makes it difficult for us to get along, and I have been spending less time with him because of it. Abby, I'm 40. I haven't lived at home for more than 20 years. I'm married with kids and hold a responsible job, and he still sees me as a little girl. An example, he will tell me how to do everyday tasks and remind me not to touch the stove or leave the lights on. In his mind, I never grew up. It has always been this way with him. I've tried talking to him about it, but all he does is roll his eyes like I'm a teenager. Dad is in his late 60s, and I really like to have I'd really like to have a relationship with him while he's still alive and healthy. Is there anything I can do to make him understand his perspective is skewed and he needs to change his behavior? Signed, Daddy's Girl. Dear Daddy's Girl, at his age, you aren't going to change your father. Your chances of improving your relationship would be better if you change the way you react to what he's doing and realize that he says the things he does because it's part of what he thinks is a parent's job. Once you see the humor in it, you'll stop feeling defensive and resenting him. Trust me, it will go a long way toward you having the adult relationship with him that you crave. On Biz, family combines talents to open resale shop. All around the house resale and consignment has opened at 3745 North Woodford Street, specializing in repurposed furniture and other household goods. Store manager Crystal Belmonte said that she and her mother and grandmother, co-owners Lisa Elmore and her mom Sandy Hott, are all handy in the crafts, with Belmonte's and Elmore refinishing furniture and Hott more into sewing. All three live in Decatur. Donations are accepted, no clothing please, and sellers receive the full sale price after paying a 25% consigner fee up front. Hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. For more, find the business on Facebook or call 217-706-5568. That's 706-5568. First MidAmerica Credit Union has moved its Decatur location from North Monroe Street into the former Busey Bank branch at 202 East Ash Avenue. Based in Bethalto, the credit union has 9 locations in Illinois, most of which are in the Alton area. Hours are 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday, with the lobby closing at 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 6 p.m. Friday, and the drive-up at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Both close at noon Saturday. For more information, visit www.firstmidamerica.org. That's 1stmidamerica.org. Ours at Friends Closet, a thrift store operated by Friends of Argenta in the old grade school at 275 North Kenwood Street, have changed. The store is open from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fridays, and is no longer open on Saturdays. An exception will be this Saturday, June 6th, when Friends Closet will be open from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. because of Argenta and Oriana's community rubbish sales today and Saturday. For more information, call Brenda Greider at 217-433-9860. That's 433-9860. The office of the Mattoon Chamber of Commerce has moved to a newly renovated location amid the businesses of downtown Mattoon. The chamber office relocated to 1518 Broadway Avenue after having previously operated out of the Peterson House in the city's Peterson Park since 2002. Chamber Executive Director Mary Wetzel said the Peterson House provided a good home for their office over the years, but was far removed from the rest of the business community. The new office is more centrally located and is in walking distance of many downtown businesses. Wetzel said the chamber office in the Peterson House often served as an unofficial welcome center for visitors to Mattoon. She said visitors exiting Interstate 57 onto Illinois Route 16 will now drive farther west into town to reach the chamber office. We just know we can help draw more people into the downtown area, Wetzel said. The new office is in a building owned and renovated by Donald Friesmeyer. Wetzel said the new office has a conference room in the back for hosting chamber board gatherings and other meetings. A kitchenette is available next to this room. Wetzel said that the Peterson House was not conducive to holding meetings, so the chamber had needed to meet off-site. Wetzel said the final upcoming renovations to the chamber office will include the creation of a paved parking area between the back door and the adjacent alley. Call 217-235-5661. That's 235-5661. In state news, Rauner calls workers' compensation reform phony. Springfield. With Republican Governor Bruce Rauner again calling their actions phony, Democrats in the Illinois House approved changes to state laws affecting injured workers Thursday. While Democrats said the proposals to lower worker compensation costs were a compromise, Rauner said business groups that support him said the changes could actually make Illinois' system worse. In a joint news release, groups representing businesses in Illinois said that the proposed changes will result in zero savings for employers and likely increase the cost of workers' compensation. Rauner's office issued a statement saying the proposal ignores the most important reforms we need for our workers' compensation system, and in another instance could actually undermine previous reform efforts. Sadly, instead of taking steps to make Illinois more competitive and job-friendly, this is another example of the speaker and his allies putting politics ahead of the people, Rauner's office said. The measure advanced to the Senate on a 63-39 vote with no Republican support, marking the latest step in what is becoming a bitter standoff over the state budget. Rauner wants a series of business-friendly changes to the state law before he'll agree to a tax increase that would close a more than $3 billion gap in the budget approved by Democrats last month. The dispute has resulted in finger-pointing as the state heads into the next fiscal year, July 1st, without a budget in place. Rauner has already threatened to close prisons and museums in an attempt to move Democrats in his direction. Despite a 2011 overhaul, Illinois ranks 7th nationwide for the highest workers' compensation cost per $100 of salary, according to the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services. Under the proposal, one provision called for stricter rules on what merits an employee payout for an injured worker. Another makes it tougher for an employee who is traveling to receive benefits if they are injured. It follows an Illinois Supreme Court ruling that said a worker must be on the job in order to qualify for benefits. Republican lawmakers say the proposals fall short of reform. They said Rauner is right to push harder for changes. It makes it very difficult to do business in the state of Illinois. It's a real serious matter, said Republican State Representative Reggie Phillips, a Charleston businessman. State Representative Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, said policymakers should have more information before voting on the issues. Without supportive data, we're shooting in the dark, Brady said. State Representative David Reese, Republican of Willow Hill, bemoaned the loss of jobs Illinois is suffering to Indiana, which has lower workers' compensation costs. We continue to lose good-paying jobs in the state. It's not competitive to do business in Illinois, Reese said. Democrats said Rauner and GOP lawmakers aren't compromising. We are meeting them halfway with this proposal, said State Representative Jay Hoffman, D. of Swansea. State Representative John Bradley, Democrat of Marion, sponsored an amendment calling for a study of the system. He said it's frustrating that after helping to negotiate a 2011 overhaul, the savings have not been passed along to businesses. Let's figure out what's going on, Bradley said. We're trying to do something in good faith. People in the state of Illinois want to get something done. It's the second time in a month that workers' compensation issues have been heavily debated on the House floor. On May 5th, workers who were injured at work told legislators how their injuries affected them, including losing homes and permanent disability. The legislation is House Bill 1287. That's all we have time for Friday, June 5th's edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. This is Barbara Ridenour. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a great weekend and week to follow.